This is a conversation with Chen Amit, co-founder and CEO of Tipalti, who brings decades of experience building companies from the ground up. He shares how Tipalti evolved from a side project into a leading finance automation platform and reflects on the importance of deep expertise, trusting your instincts, and staying hands-on as a founder. I appreciated his perspective on AI's future in finance, where increased automation will drive efficiency while human accountability remains essential. Okay, Chen, very nice to meet you. Thanks for making time for me joining to the Humans and AI podcast. I've been reading a little, obviously I had to, but I wanted to read a little bit about you. What I've seen is like, almost all your career has been in entrepreneurship. Like you've been a co-founder in different companies. Well, for what I've seen, three companies. And then, so where is this spirit of entrepreneurship comes from? Like this ambition?
You know what? I think I don't know anything else, to be honest, because as a teenager, and I'm well hairdressed, but it's actually gray everywhere else. So it was a long time ago when I was a teenager. Before the PC era, I worked in programming. So you know, I had to be my own boss, if you will. And then when I started my career after grad, it was in a new business for the company. And 2 years later, another new business that I was part of building. And it was almost as if that's all I knew. And it's where I find comfort. There was one company that I took as CEO, which was already an established company, a couple of hundred employees. It was a very quick exercise. It was acquired very quickly. So, but the experience was different for me. Yeah, I'm a geek. I like to build stuff. Even today, I still build. I still create. I think there are some things that are relevant to the AI discussion here. But yeah, it's kind of all I know is building from the ground up. And yeah.
And well, because I mean, entrepreneurship, there is a very challenging and there's a lot of setbacks, but there's a lot of lessons too, you know. So what is the main lesson that you've been learning through all this journey? Because I mean, it's been many years, you know, of experience in this.
Yeah, I don't know that there's one main lesson, and I'm not sure if all my lessons are transferable to everyone. They are transferable to some. Where I find I excel is when I know a lot about the topic. I'm in the details. So right now we're kind of a larger company, if you will. I still find that I don't micromanage, but whenever I dive into a topic, I find comfort. Building the companies over the many years I've been doing that, as you said, I always was in the seat of someone who built the product, sold the product, defined the product, supported the product, everything else. And that gives a founder, myself, I don't know, every founder, a lot of ability with my team, with my customers, with everyone else. So I believe in doing. I believe in getting your hands dirty. I think I know how to delegate, but it doesn't mean that I can stop going deep down to the nitty-gritty when needed. Not all the time, not everywhere. But yeah, I think it's more of a lesson in the company that has already grown, like Tipalti, that it never gets old to get down to the very bits and bytes and details of what you're doing. It educates me and helps me find areas where I can add value.
Okay, so talking a little bit more about Tipalti as a CEO, did it born? Like, how did you start? Because for what I read, it was like a side project with a friend that you were building it. So yeah. How did it work?
Yeah. So I sold that other company I just mentioned, the company I was there that I got already established, sold it very quickly and started, you know, trying new ideas for new businesses and didn't come. I had some starts and stops, nothing that really stuck. So I reached out to a friend and told him that I'm kind of itching to do something. He's an investor, a very prolific investor. And if he sees anything in his portfolio or in his deal flow that could be interesting for me to let me know. A few months passed, and he calls me with one of his portfolio companies that had a pain. He described it in kind of very high level terms, and we met together with the founder, one of the founders, and he described his problem. And the problem was, it was an ad network and they needed to make payments to publishers all over the world. It didn't strike me as a company worthy problem, like making payments should have been solved when banks were invented. So I said, you know what, I'm itching to do something. I'll just do something with this guy, help him out, get busy for a few weeks, and move back to looking for something to do. And I shadowed him for a couple of sessions, and I understood that it wasn't making payments to publishers. It was way more than that. It was onboarding them. It was getting details. It was their local specifics on taxes, on regulators, on payments, on and know your customer and regulations. It was way more involved than that. It was communicating with the suppliers. It was knowledge about global payment systems. So it was interesting to build something, but I still wasn't sure it was company worthy. And yeah, being someone who likes to get their hands dirty, I said, you know what, I'll build it. Maybe it's just, by that time, I had already two people telling me that they have the pain. Maybe I'll just solve the problem for these two companies, two ad networks, two flavors of ad networks. Even if it ends with that, even if it's just me selling a product to these two companies, I'm fine. I'm enjoying my time. I'm building stuff. I'll make side money and go back to looking for the real thing. That was, a famous last words. Then the third customer and the fourth customer, and then my first hire, that was in the second year. And then we got a few, this was in Israel. Then we got a few, first couple of US customers that were actually sizable. And I understood that, okay, it's not anymore that I can do everything myself. That same friend who introduced me to this first company was the first investor. He still is the chairman and lead investor, Oren Ziv. And he led the first round, started hiring people, more customers, and the rest is history.
Yeah, history that's been more than 15 years already. That's for at least what your LinkedIn said. I'm like, wow, like,
yeah, it is.
Like you've been in from the beginning for sure. So before, like, the payments and everything that you've been talking about, that were like, it was obviously working a very different way than now with AI. So what has changed in the finance world with AI? What is the impact now?
With AI, look, finance, banking, payments, CFOs, banks, regulators are not your early adopters, are not your risk takers, and are not comfortable with hallucinations. So it's a very, very different cohort than most. Many other areas, the answer is 90% accurate. That's fine. Not when you make, millions of dollars of payments and they all need to get to the right person, the right amount, the right currency, the right time. And your books need to close accurately when the regulators look behind your back to make sure that you're treating your customers and suppliers correctly. So the pace of disruption is, there is disruption, there is adoption, but it's in that context. It's people who want proof points, they want confidence, they want hand-holding. They're not going to, most of, I'm generalizing, right? There are other versions, but as a group, they need more help in taking the steps into adopting AI. They want full control. There are many surveys on the office of the CFO and what types of AI, what type of adoption they want. They want their vendors, their existing vendors, to provide them with solutions, and they want full control. So when we think about how we enable our customers with AI, We want automation to go as far as it can, and we want to give our customers full control. Full control doesn't mean that they have to do everything. They don't. It doesn't mean that they have to approve even anything, but they need to make all the decisions. So I'll give you an example. If we automate invoice approval, there's a purchase order. Someone created a purchase order 3 months ago. The order arrived today. There's an invoice. We need to match the invoice and the purchase orders. There are discrepancies. We call it Jack. They call it Jill, but it's the same product. We can automatically match because we have a lot of information to match, but we want the customer to tell us what they want the AI to take decisions themselves itself and what they want. Above 50, like we allow them to make full control of what AI does itself and what AI goes back to them for approval. But it's a journey. I think we are at an earlier step in the journey for CFOs, bankers, regulators, but the train has left the station. We're all on it and in the midst of finding the right product market fit for AI in the office of the CFO.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, you know, because even though that is everybody saying like, yeah, everybody's adopting AI, it's true, like for banking things, like you let AI to kind of handle your money. It's kind of like humans, we could just get a bit crazy, like, oh, who is there, you know? So that's interesting. Actually, I haven't even thought about that. Like, it's kind of slow for banking because of trust, right? There's a lot of trust, and you have to show trust to your customers too. So it's all about that. So yourself as a CEO, do you think like AI influence or impact in the way that you do your role now, your work?
Absolutely, absolutely. First of all, it impacts the company dramatically. Tipalti is now going through an AI transformation, and we are on track to becoming an AI native company. An AI native company, as if we were born in the AI era, right? There's a major difference between companies who were born in the last 2 years and are just natively all operating AI enabled from the ground up versus companies who are more established and need to change the way they were doing business into being AI native. So I make decisions. I consult with my favorite AI tool. Today it's Claude. It used to be something else. It'll be something else probably, you know, next week, figuratively next week. And it gets some things right, it gets some things wrong, but it definitely gives me additional perspectives, it triggers more lines of thought, and it helps me with crafting my messages and communicating. And once I decided that the company will go through this transformation, then the same exercises I did, you know, on my own with the help of AI to reach that conclusion, I propagated to my execs that they need to think about their functions and how their functions need to transform and so forth. And now the whole company is going through this transformation. So yeah, it changed my work drastically.
And how about hiring? Because, you know, like now, I don't know, that's what people say, because there's a lot of hype on this. It's like companies don't hire as much as before because of AI. It kind of everything is more like easier. So what are the qualities that you're looking for when you're hiring someone?
Yeah. I'm looking for people who believe in AI, love what they do, and do a lot with AI already, that they are experimenting and they are backers of the transformation. In both in Tipalti, but I also hear it from other companies. In Tipalti, the transformation comes from me. I'm a believer. I can tell you how I got to that point, but so everyone is rallying, you know, behind and doing that. Not everyone is a strong believer. Those who can make the change, you know, will be successful. Those who cannot will probably not be a good fit for the company. When I speak with other companies, if it doesn't come from the top, then it's a very, very different experience. So that's why I'm looking for believers, because the company is going through a change. The change, every change is hard, definitely for a company our size, and people need to be comfortable in that change. Challenge the status quo. It's always true for entrepreneurship that you challenge the status quo. Now, the whole company needs to challenge the status quo. I'll give you kind of one line of thought that is challenging. We're our structure, right? Our org structure. Let's look at the go-to-market organization. You have marketing, you have sales development, sales, solution consultants, implementation managers, support, customer success, etc. Why do we have all of these functions? Because of human limitations. Because a solution consultant is very capable in demoing and exploring the business challenges of the customer, but he or she may or may not be good at selling, or may or may not be good at providing support and vice versa. And the support person might or might not identify sales opportunities. Now, if AI is part of every session, they can listen with all of the ears or all of the skills of all of these different functions. Every discussion is both for the purpose of that discussion. Let's say a support call is a support call, but you can also listen with a compliance ear. You can also listen with a sales ear. You can also identify reference opportunities all in a support call. So as a leader of that organization, you want to think of the whole go-to-market organization differently. The skills that can be part of every touch point are now different than what they used to be before. So the people need to change in how they run their respective functions, what activities they need to engage in. The support person now needs to provide the lead of a new sale opportunity if one is identified in the support. So yeah, it requires more agility than ever before.
100%. So what is your opinion about AI agents? Because, you know, most of the CEOs that I've been talking with, they believe that they would replace humans 100%. So what is your belief?
Yeah, I don't think they can replace humans 100%. Yeah, and I don't believe they can replace a human 100%. I believe, at least in our world, where, and in general, B2B sales, humans need, in on one hand, on B2B sales, on the other hand, in a regulated environment. So it cannot be replaced, for instance, when you have personal accountability requirement, like in a regulated environment. If you are responsible for not making payments to bad actors, then eventually someone needs to sign off either on the AI policy, the results of the AI policy, the audit of the AI policy, or the manual work. Either needs to be owned by a human. Sales processes, I don't see a version where a strategic sale, where you bring the chief something and the VP something and the director of something from a customer prospect company to have a meeting with an AI agent. They need to see someone in front of them. Now, will that person, will that senior salesperson be AI enabled? Of course. Will they have in the call an AI agent listening and suggesting topics and answers? Of course. But the other party, the senior person on the other side, needs humans. What I do, and there are other reasons why you need humans, like high-stake interactions, crisis, senior buyer moments, etc. But what I believe is that when you do have humans, you will have, it's not humans managing agents, right? I think a lot of people are saying, oh, now as a team leader, you will not manage humans, you will manage agents. I think you will be a human managing agents managing humans. For instance, if you do need an account exec to be in front of a prospect, you do want the help of AI to manage the timeliness of responses, the completeness, the failures of the human being, the failures of not knowing enough, not dropping balls, correlating across complex and functional topics. So I view it as a sandwich of humans managing agents, quote unquote, managing humans being the end result.
I like that. It's kind of humans in the loop, but kind of like a sandwich, right? Like
yeah.
Humans, alien humans. I like it. So, Chim, what's the best piece of advice you ever received in your whole career?
What's the best piece of advice I ever received in all my career? Wow. Need to think about that one. Best piece of advice. Good question. You know what? Maybe I'll go to the beginning of my career. That'll be a good one. So when I went to business school, came back to a telecom company, and I was tasked with finding a new business line for the company. We found an idea we wanted to work on. And my boss at the time and myself, he just graduated from Harvard. I just graduated from INSEAD. It's a business school in France. And we were all fresh out of business school. And we said, let's go through all of our exercises that we remember from business school to analyze this problem we want to solve. And we came back with a solution that looked very odd to the experienced people in the company. My boss was, or the yeah, my former boss at that point was the chief technology officer, whatever, 20 years of experience, 30, whatever, 40 years of experience, won accolades and was really a serious guy. And we wanted to build something that was very, very different. It looked odd, no question about it. And when I came to him with this problem, I said, look, it's very, very different than what the company is used to building, but it's the right thing. It's just every way we look at the problem, it's the right thing for the customer. And he said, look, you will have objections in the company. It will have, like, even for him as a senior, you know, chief CTO of the company, very established company, he said, even for me, it's odd, but if the data supports the strategy, then you need to be to blindfold to objections, believe, have your backbone, and go with it. If it succeeds, you'll be a hero. If it fails, no, you move to the next one, but you have to go with your gut feel and just trust your gut feel. So for me, the crux of it was to trust my gut feel, whether it is on these types of topics or others. At the end, you have to trust your gut feel.
Thank you. I'm sorry. You were kind of like, what question is this one? But yeah, but I really like your answer. Thank you very much. So Chen, looking ahead 5 to 10 years, how do you see AI changing finance operations and the way companies make decisions?
Yeah, AI moves at a pace, at an incredible pace. Hallucinations, for instance, was a major issue before. Now it's not that it's accurate all the time, but it's not that burning problem that we were thinking about last year. It still is an issue. So the pace of innovation for me, obviously, when ChatGPT was launched, was a wow moment, a real kind of oh my God moment. And the next one was in December of last year when Claude 4.6, whatever, was released and Claude Code was released. And I started experimenting with it. And I said, okay, that's really transformational. What will happen in 5 years? Wow, that's a generation in this space. But yeah, of course, decisions, more automation. A better a user experience, better even better regulations. I think we'll from a regulator perspective, you'll have more compliance, you will have fewer issues. I think my analogy is Waymo in a way. So Waymo is not perfect, but it's better than most drivers. Yeah, I want to see Waymo in finance. I want to see way better automation, way better compliance, better safety, better experience. Not perfect, but that's what I believe will happen in finance, as in the rest of the world. It might take more development, more envelopes, more protection, more AI development to get there. And more education, more this world, but it will be no different than the rest of the world.
Nice. I've got a last question for you. How do you want to be remembered when you, yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm a fatalist. I don't want to be remembered. It's not important for me. No, it's not. I think we are here for a period of time. We have our life, it's a journey. You need to enjoy the journey. When it ends, you go back to Earth, your food for whatever for the Earth, and that's it. I'm not going to be here to care about who remembers me. So yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Great. Okay. I like your perspective. Usually people are like, well, I want to be remembered this way. But I think that it's good to have all the perspective. And actually, I agree with you. I think life is a journey. As a journey, life is now. It's now in the
Yeah.
present. Tomorrow, the world is pretty crazy right now. So you never
You
know.
need to remember yourself when it ends. The most important thing is how you remember yourself. And you need to be proud of what you did and to be comfortable with how you lived your life. And that's how I try to live.
Great, thanks, Jen. So, thank you very much for your time. Much wisdom, actually. So, yeah, thank you, and thanks for joining the Humans and AI podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.